From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 25th day of July 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Hear just a little bit of an interview that I did with Daryl Good. More of that tomorrow in the closing market report about the size of this year's corn crop. It's already up on the website at willag.org if you can't wait and you need to listen to it now. We'll also hear from the cash grain side of this marketplace with the folks at the Andersons and take a quick look at the weather forecast too with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois, and it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, corn futures were lower today. September down a quarter at 334 and three quarters. December at 341 and a quarter, a half lower. Next year's July down a half at 362. August soybeans down 22 and three quarters, 983 and three quarters. The settlement price November at 966 and a quarter, down 22. January also down 22, actually 22 and a quarter at 967. Bean oil off 75 cents. Bean meal down $7.80. July, a soft red winter wheat. That's up 8 cents. New crop at 502 and three quarters. The nearby September for the soft red at 429, up 3 3/4. The hard red September up 4 1/4 at $4.23 1/4. Live cattle futures were up the $3 limit at $112.95. August feeders up $4.50. The expanded limit at $141.70. And lean hogs 15 cents higher at $75.42 1/2. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois is here now to take a look at the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, I want to go back to last Friday afternoon. I was a little not paying enough attention and did not realize on that date that there was a cattle on feed report that came out. However, it must assuredly have shown some important numbers because both the feeders and the fats have rallied sharply today.
Yeah, we saw the placement number as the key bullish number. Placements 103, 103%. Trade estimates were as high as 106.5 as an average. High guess was about 109, but the low guess is 103.8. Long story short, placements were not there. Marketings were up to expectations. And of course, the on feed came as expected. That report was considered positive. Futures were called 100 to 200 higher going home there Friday and opened higher and continued to march up. But also, too, there was a cold storage report. And that report showed smaller than expected numbers as far as the pork goes. And so that kind of helped the whole situation there. The thing is when you look at, you know, the bigger numbers being built in, a little herd expansion, the thing that kind of stuck out on the monthly supply-demand reports, which they give beef and pork projections and consumption projections, is per capita consumption is starting to rise somewhat. So when you look at the report here last week, and consumption maybe on the increase, this meat complex is starting to form a story here that maybe we're carving out some early summer lows here, Todd.
Speaking of early summer lows, we keep moving lower in both the corn and the soybeans. Another really rough day in the soybean market. Is it just about the weather getting better?
Well, it was a combination of things. Weather getting a little better. Concerns that maybe exports might just slow a little bit here short term as China continues to let a few beans out of the reserve. Then the product was somewhat lower too. If you notice, meal and bean oil both took a fairly good hit. But the main culprit continues to be the commodity funds. For quite some time, as we all know, they've been buying beans, selling corn, buying beans, selling wheat. And with the trend turning lower in here, they've turned to the aggressive side on selling and liquidating some of these long positions they've accumulated over some time. But the main thing is the average person might kind of look at is the weather. weather-wise, we're seeing some cooler temperatures. We're seeing some moisture march across the Midwest and through here. It's hard to be extremely bullish grains here with some ample rain around on the radar.
Okay, so we've got much lower prices in corn, much lower prices in soybeans. Corn is below any place that producers will want to market, and the crop insurance numbers. Soybeans remain above that. For those producers, and this would be a pretty narrow area to talk about, but for those producers who need some cash flow, or that really just haven't made enough sales of either crop, and should they make a sale for new crop soybeans?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with continue to try to push some cash crane out the door. Bean-wise, we are at some decent levels here still, even though we're quite a bit off the highs that warrant maybe a few sales. But overall, I think that if you're needing cash flow, probably need to also consider some corn sales at some point in time and through here. Corn basis is still relatively decent in most areas, and with the large supply coming online here as we move into the fall, it might be kind of hard for the market to rally significantly as we start to get into harvest. So any type of bouncing through here, I wouldn't be afraid to add to a few new sales and replace those sales, since we are quite a bit below the cost of production on corn.
What are your expectations for this afternoon's USDA crop report? The last 3 weeks in a row, it just seems to have gotten, it's not gotten worse, but it's always gotten a little better, despite the fact the numbers staying exactly the same.
Boy, just visiting producers, the crop just seems to be phenomenal. We can move her up 1 or down 1%. But as far as a dramatic change, I'd be surprised either way. I think they'll just continue to hum right in there, 76% good to excellent corns, 71% good to excellent beans. Now, as we move along and through here, seasonally and traditionally, as the crop starts to mature, we see a little bit of deterioration out of that good to excellent category. But as a whole, division of producers, they're quite pleased with what they're seeing in the field, at least driving by. There's a few spots where in Iowa and Missouri where they had some warmer, drier weather during pollination. Didn't quite get the fill they're looking for. But like last year was 200 projected, this time is coming in by 180. That's still a good crop, Todd.
Did you get another rainfall over the weekend or last night there in Bloomington Normal? I got one here last night, I think 1.5 over in Springfield. Looked like 1.6 to me, but a lot of rain.
Yeah, we had mostly around the 2-inch level, but man, a lot of lightning, a lot of thunder, a little bit of wind with it. But yeah, we're quite blessed in through here. We've been receiving the rain when needed and just not getting the big floods in some areas that have been receiving it here on some of these downpours.
Any final word?
Well, once again, I'd like to echo we need to start pushing the pencil a little bit. We're getting to a point where we're getting an idea on production, on numbers. I think the strategy from here on out is trying to get from point A to point B. Point A being where we are today with today's price and projected income, to where you need to be to stay afloat. There's quite a few strategies out there to get you from point A to point B, and I think that needs to be the main focus here as we move forward.
I know it doesn't make folks feel a lot better, but it's always bushels times price, and if you've got a lot more bushels, you can manage with a lower price, I suppose. Hey, thanks so much.
Very good.
That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. In today's agricultural news, just in time for the Democrat convention, presumptive vice presidential nominee Tim Kaine has gone on record opposing the TPP. A spokesperson for Kaine on Saturday confirmed that the Virginia Democrat shared his negative views on the trade deal with Hillary Clinton last week, even though he spoke favorably of the trade deal as recently as last Thursday. His decision to oppose the agreement deals another blow to President Barack Obama's hopes of winning TPP approval in Congress this year. Let's stay with free trade, but flip from one side of the aisle, the Democrats, to the Republicans. Donald Trump doubled down against what he calls bad trade deals in his acceptance speech at the GOP convention this past week. But renegotiating NAFTA and torpedoing the Trans-Pacific Partnership may not be easy or in the nation's best interest. Trump calls TPP and NAFTA disastrous for American workers and says he will fix them while hammering Hillary Clinton for backing both, which, of course, she opposes. And Trump says no more multilateral deals, only bilateral trade agreements. But as former USDA trade advisor Paul Drasik says, ripping up NAFTA and other trade deals, that, he thinks, will cost jobs.
The first thing that happens is that everybody who's involved in trade on the import side lose their jobs. And when we stop exporting, because countries won't import from us if we won't import from them, then a lot more jobs are lost. And in the meantime, you're not creating jobs.
Drasik warns Canada and Mexico will insist on concessions if the U.S. demands a new NAFTA. As for doing trade deals just one country at a time, U.S. Trade Ambassador Michael Froman says giving up on the 12 nations TPP will cost the U.S. dearly.
And we don't want to be shut out of these markets by other countries who are already negotiating or have negotiated trade agreements, and will get the access to these markets at our expense. And we don't want the rules of the road to be set by other countries who may not share our interests and our values.
Australia has already made a deal with Japan that could cost the U.S. an estimated $100 million in lost beef sales. And Froman says without TPP, U.S. exports will continue to be hit with high tariffs abroad, including $1 billion worth of U.S. agricultural exports. Let's finish out on that note about agricultural exports, but bring it back to the corn crop that is now up and growing in the Midwest. It looks like a really good one, and that may very well mean some really low prices for some time for farmers. The operative word for the 2016 corn crop is big, says University of Illinois agricultural economist Darrell Good. He says there are plenty of acres of corn around the nation, and that the weather, while unique, has set the stage for an above-trend yield bumper crop.
I'm thinking we're looking at a corn crop probably close to 15 billion bushels this year, and even with some increase in consumption in kind of across the board feed market export ethanol, that's not going to prevent a buildup in stocks, probably approaching 2.5 billion bushels by the end of the 16-17 marketing year, and that points to continued low corn prices for another year.
Certainly, this could be in the low $3 range, thanks Darrell Good. Maybe a nationwide average cash price for the whole season of $3.35 or $3.40 a bushel. We'll hear more from Darrell Good tomorrow during the closing market report, the whole of the interview I did with him earlier today. However, that's already up on the website at willag.org, willag.org. Well, it's that time of year when a lot of new students and their parents are touring the University of Illinois campus. They're usually led around by a tour guide, a student that's walking backwards and telling them about what they're seeing. One of the things I see daily at this time of the year, probably three or four in a row normally at the noon hour, is a group that's passing by the Morrill Plots. I thought you might be interested in hearing kind of the story behind that really important, even legendary place right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus.
When you leave the hallowed halls of Illinois.
You know, there's a story here at the University of Illinois.
There is just one thing you can't forget, my boy.
And it is a very true story.
It's an old established room.
Our undergraduate library, the place where students go and study, our undergraduate library is built underground. And that happened for only one reason.
Oh, you can't throw shit on the corn. It'll die as sure as you're born. No, sir, we don't mess around. Now that berry's underground, because you can't throw shade on the corn.
Nope, you just can't throw shade on the corn in the Marl plots.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the story about the undergraduate library is the fact that it's actually built underground rather than above ground to reduce any impact of shade on the Marl plots.
That's agronomist Bob Dunker. He takes care of the Marl plots and says the undergraduate library isn't the only building adjusted downward to keep the sunshine on the corn. And it's all happened for good reason.
It really is a historical continuum, kind of a living museum. You know, it was established in 1876, and it's the longest continuous research plot in America, and actually has the longest continuous corn plot in the world that has been documented. And you know, over the series of that time, it's been pretty much managed very similar as far as rotational scheme and looking at the effects of both fertilizer and crop rotation on soil quality.
Well, the Marl plots, established in the mid-late 1800s, are just about as old as the University of Illinois itself. This land grant was established in 1867. The Marl plots were much bigger back then. Three of the original plots remain, says Bob Dunker.
You know, originally there were 10 plots in the Marl plots, and now there actually are three, plots 3, 4, and 5, and Plot 3 has been in continuous corn since 1876. You know, Plot 4 has been in a two-year rotation from 1876 until 1967, was in a corn-oats rotation, and then soybeans were swapped out for oats after that period to more closely reflect what our typical agriculture is for this day. And Plot 5 has been always been in a three-year rotation. It still has oats. It's corn-oats. Alfalfa rotation, and so that's our three-year rotation. You know, only every 6 years, because of the way the rotations occur, is it in continuous corn, and that's when we can actually measure the responses of the different treatments because we have a uniform crop.
The continuous corn plots, the plot that hasn't ever been seeded with anything other than corn, typically has the lowest yields. The three-year corn oats alfalfa rotation has the best long-term average yield. You can come see the Marl plots for yourself on the University of Illinois campus. They're just to the east of the underground undergraduate library. The Marl plots song, as performed by the other guys, they've been an a cappella group on campus since 1968. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Well, on this Monday afternoon, let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. Amy Sage is here. She's from the Andersons, from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Amy.
Good afternoon, Todd.
That's a much nicer day today than I thought it would be. A little cloud and not as much sunshine, I suppose, around, and the heat is bearable. However, I do need to ask you a quick question. Are farmers calling you about new crop soybeans and sales, and should they be?
You know, calls we're getting, yes, but not a lot of sales at this point. And, you know, we did actually have quite a bit that got put on when we were rallying. Even it, really, it happened a little early once we got above $9, then above $10, and then above $11. But then it kind of tapered off. I think it got to the point where people weren't wanting to get more heavily sold than what they already were, or just waiting to see if it would go even higher. So depending on where people are at in their soybean sales, you know, the closer we get to harvest, the less scary this weather forecast is getting to the trade. And funds were extremely long. They continue to liquidate in beans. They continue to liquidate in meal and oil as well. So that doesn't bode very well for soybeans at this point. But, you know, the rains continue. As long as we keep getting timely rains, at least in this area, it's probably going to take something pretty drastic to get back up to the levels that we've seen. Now, crazier things have happened in the soybean market, but at this point, looking at a potential production here, it's it's hard to get too worried today. And the closer we get to harvest and the less dramatic conditions we have, the harder that might get.
Thanks so much, Amy. Amy Sage, of course, is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on willag.org to take a look at the cash grain segment. Now let's discover what's been happening with the agricultural weather forecast. We've had some rain and things are looking pretty good. John Davis of Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois, thanks for being with us. However, we should probably discuss any problem areas across the nation.
Well, the Delta is still an area of concern, but their rainfall prospects the next 3 to 4 days look excellent. And so the bottom line is that that's going to be taken care of. The far eastern Midwest has some issues. Portions of Ohio, portions of Michigan, a few pockets of Indiana, they look like they have pretty good opportunities later on this week as well. So certainly any kind of problem areas are in a shrinking mode, and with kind of normal temperatures the next week, pretty favorable growing conditions.
And finally, you heard me worry a little bit about the very high overnight temperatures and the impact that might have on the crop. Are we done with that for the time being?
We're done with that for about the next week, although as we get into early August, the first week or 10 days, looks like we're going to get that again, and we're going to have another period where the nighttime lows are more anomalous than the daytime highs.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, and we appreciate you stepping out of your meeting and being with us this afternoon, John.
Anytime, Todd. Thank you.
You're so welcome. That, of course, John Davis. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org.